church is after one of my sheep, that or a girl. And I kept on, you know, preaching salvation, boy, every sermon. You know, and I finally told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not going to let him have my sheep now. I went and asked him, you saved? No, I ain't saved. I ain't never got saved. And I thought, well, don't be too pushy. But I thought, because she evidently don't understand the Bible, be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And it's hard for me to do it. But anyway, went on. He said under that word, there's a kingdom process. See, he thought he was after fish. But God was bringing him alive. Hallelujah. He finally eventually gave his heart to Jesus. They got a little boy. I don't know if they could, I think just one now. They're married and got a home and believed for a home. Had a Friday night. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to have a Friday night. A miracle service, financial miracle service. And I thought, well, this city right here is going to think I'm really after people's money. And he said, what does that matter? They've been believing for a house. And so I announced it at church. Bring your offering to the Lord this Friday night. We're going to have a financial miracle service. How many of you was here? A few of us, yeah. And so we had it on a Friday night. And had a financial miracle service. Well, I didn't know what they going to put in there for. I mean, whatever. I told them, whatever you believe in God for, bring him an offering. Bring God an offering. There's going to be a supernatural anointing on this service. When you give, it's going to be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. He's going to cause men to give you. Well, they brought an offering to the Lord. They'd been looking for a house for 4 or 5 years. I don't know how long. They had turned down a bunch. They wanted the right house. Wanted it to be where God said, and everything had fallen through. It just wasn't happening. They brought an offering that Friday night to the Lord, and gave it to the Lord. Praise God, and give the Lord an offering. See, that kingdom, the kingdom was wanting to manifest, but God has a process. A lot of times when God is dealing with our lives, he don't just snap it and fix it. He brings us through a process. Just like Travis, you know, he's 16, 17 years, whatever he is, he's going to get married. I just took my hat off and I said, enjoy the ride. 18, buddy. Yeah. He got 18. He ain't asking us no more. He's getting married. Good. Kind of like buying a ladder thinking I got a good deal at a yard sale for $40. Now you got to go climb it and work off of it. Right? And so I told him, I said, enjoy the ride. Well, they married. Oh, they sucked each other's air for about a week, I guess. Just hugged up, just breathing air. You know how it is when you fall in love. You just want to use you nose to nose. Your air is good, baby. But life set in. Life began to set in. Marriage was not all just love. That's good. You better have a bunch of it. It better be genuine, you know, because when kingdom is concerned, see, it is not, it's not 50-50. It's I'm laying my life down for you, and you lay your life down for me. But we're both going to lay our life down for Jesus. So Travis calls me, and he says, God, I had groceries. Spent $40 on groceries. I bet you it triple that now. He got two kids, 10, 11 years later, and two kids, and Beth, she don't have to drive junkers. You know what that stuff cost you. And so, but see what happened, the process began in their life. And then they had to, I guarantee you, the process that was yielded to the Lord through where they're at today is solid. Because, see, once we get born again, we enter into the kingdom. We're transferred out of darkness into light. And I don't care, like I told Travis one time, he was raised in church. He was took to church. I took him to church Every time the doors were open, when I was right, I took him to church. So all he knew was church and God and all of that. But there come a time when I told him, I said, son, you can't live off of daddy's anointing anymore. You've got to have your own anointing from the Lord. You got to have your own relationship from the Lord. Because I realized the danger in raising him in church was he didn't know God. I needed to make sure that he knew that daddy's relationship with God won't get you to heaven. Daddy's relationship with God won't get you the blessing on your life. There comes a time when you must have your own relationship with the Lord Jesus, and I walk with him and talk with him and fast and pray and sacrifice money and time for the brethren. If you're not sure that you're born again, praise God, I'm talking to people all over. We're all over the world. We ain't no little church like some people think. And I really don't care what they think. Somebody asked me about the men's meeting. Seen them yesterday. Y'all have a good crowd. I said, we had enough. It ain't about how many people you get. It ain't about how many that we get in our life to be successful. It's about doing God's will. That's what success is. That's what being a man is. See, I started to the jails one. I used to have a jail ministry in Coleman for three or four years. I started this morning, Sunday morning after church, to the jail, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, I want you to tell them it takes a man to serve me. It takes a real woman to serve me. He said, anybody cannot. He said, but it takes a man. So I went in there. I said, are there any men in here this morning? All of them was men. I said, we got any men in here? All of them, yeah, you man, what's wrong with you, preacher? We're all men. And then they looked and they said, ain't we? They never know these days. That's what they're thinking. Never know. And I said, a real man follows Jesus. I said, a real man will give his heart to Jesus this morning. I said, a real man will take in his place in the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Is anybody ready to be a man in here this morning? That's what I told them. Hey, some got saved that day, Johnny. They realized, but God, I need Jesus. I need him. That's why I'm in this place right now. I've walked without Jesus, and I've given in to Satan and feelings and emotions and broken relationships, and I was powerless. I didn't have no power to fight and overcome, and now I realize that's why. I might be a man with a mustache, but I'm not a man. Hallelujah. Some of them got born again. See, that's why I took the scripture when it says, when the Apostle Paul, he said, when I was a child, I spake like a child. I thought like a child. But when I become a man, he said, I put away that stupid thinking, that childish thinking, all of that, and I begin to be serious. I mean, knows the kingdom is serious. God's not up there, well, it really don't matter if you want the king. He's like, no, the kingdom is the way. The kingdom is the life. The kingdom is the truth. Hallelujah. And the kingdom will lead you into victory. It'll lead your marriage into victory. It'll lead you, even today, I think, well, could have a heart attack, had open heart surgery. No, I don't know how good a job it done. We ain't promised tomorrow. Which I ain't dying. I've got 120 years and I'm standing on it. And I'm not going to get on the couch because I won't live that long on the couch. But God, I just won't. Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of his hands, so shall your poverty come as an armed man. A lazy man is going to have problems. A kingdom man's not lazy. Now, he might be feeling lazy. I didn't go to work for a while, you know. And I told Travis, I said, lazy's feeling pretty good. Feels pretty good to be lazy. Because he was lazy. I mean, he was lazy, and I knew it. He might have been deceived and thought he wasn't, but I know he's lazy. He's getting better. He's working the lazy out. How many knows if you're lazy, work it out. Drive lazy out. I mean, I'm having to retrain myself not to work so much. I love getting things done. I mean, I just feel, I went yesterday and I thought, it's hot out here. We'll go cut a couple of trees down, sawmill them, done got hot. Monty kept us till dinner. And then I ended up, I thought, you know what? This lady comes out, she said, I need to sell that four-wheeler. I've been in a hospital for a week and blah, 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 blah. And I said, I don't need a four-wheeler. You got to buy it. I said, well, I thought, I need something to tinker with. You know, I ain't tinkered in a while, Johnny. I need a tinker. You got an S10, you tinkered, right? Now they got motor, they went 5 hours. I'm not riding with them. You get saddle sore after about 6 hours. And Monty, he's got to get, he's a truck driver. He knows every little back road. Yeah. He goes down into Collinsville and back up and up to Tennessee yesterday. You know, so I thought, well, I'm throwing all of this down, and Lord, if it's okay with you, how many knows it's good to ask the Lord what's okay? Acknowledge him in all of our ways, and then he'll direct our path, the Bible says. If I was getting married again today, I'd say, Lord, are you sure? If I was single, something happened to Teresa, the Lord said, I want you to get married, I'd say, Lord, are you sure? Have you seen these ladies down there? They don't follow Jesus much anymore. And if they do, they got a picture of this Jesus that I don't know nothing about in the Bible. Come on, somebody. We can get our own God going in our head. He's okay with it. God's okay with it. He's okay if I do. I run over Richard's truck one time out here, tore his bumper off his Jeep, Pathfinder, or whatever it was. Jackknifed it on it. Pulling the trailer. Ripped it off. I told him, I said, I'm going to pay. Nah, man, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it, man. It wasn't worth much. Whatever he said, you know, and he's serious. He means it. And you know, when I looked at him, and I said, see, it ain't got nothing to do with what he thinks. It's got to do with me and Jesus now. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus want me to do? No matter what the man said, no matter. And they meant it. He meant it. They meant it. They did not. That was okay. They really meant it. But see, your relationship with Jesus ain't based on Johnny and me and Nemo and Richard. It's about what Jesus says. See, a kingdom person, somebody that's born again, has a process working, and his ways are right. His ways of doing and being. He's going to bring the process to bring me and you into a mature Christian. Growing up, changing, transformed person. Hallelujah. We read it last week. Well, I told, he wasn't going to take it. So I told him, I said, well, look, man, you either take the money. I got a price on it. I said, you either take the money or I'm going to have it fixed. I'm buying a bumper. We're going to fix it. It don't matter what he wants. See, kingdom people don't do that. I'm not telling you I'm your example. Jesus is your example. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If somebody ripped my bumper off, I would want them to fix it. I mean, I would. Now, I would probably say, it don't matter. I mean, it don't matter. I liked my bumper. It was on my vehicle. Right? And I'm going to put another one on because I'm blessed. I don't have to drive around like that no more. With it nearly hanging down to the ground with bungee cords. I've bungee cord my hood shut. I've waxed fenders on my vehicles before. When God telling me, take care of it, you won't, asking him for a new ride. He's saying, you won't take care of the one you got. You ain't never washed it. Now, like God, it's rusted out. What has that got to do with cleanliness? So I go wash it. I don't know if this is for somebody. This ain't in my message. It's okay, though. I don't like for vehicles. I waxed that vehicle until it nearly had fenders on it. I took care of it. I cleaned all the dust off the dash. I sweated all the way to church and work, and it was a 76 Chevy pickup with a 350 car engine drive train, rear end, everything in it, come out from under a car. She would cruise. She wasn't low geared or anything. But God wanted me, it was not about the truck. It was about the character of me. It was about my character. It wasn't about the bumper. It was about my character. It wasn't about none of that. It was about character. See, God is interested in me and you having Christ-like character. God way character, because that character, I mean, you know, it's like Travis. I didn't goof off too much with him. I mean, I'm a funny guy, man. I'm, but when it comes to life and the kingdom and all of that, I don't play with it. I didn't play with it in mind about Jesus. I didn't present myself ungodly in front of him, joking, anything, pretty much, because I didn't want him to think that's okay to be a Christian that way. I told him one time, I said, they're having to learn how, if y'all two, when y'all get married, it won't be roses. It won't be roses. I'm not trying to get you not to get married. They're going to be hell in the hallway. I mean, even before you get that way, if you're in love, you're going to be jealous. That's devilish. That is the devil. You're going to be jealous. Well, other guys are looking at her. Thank God she looks that good. Praise God for it. That you could be in love and ain't no guy looking at her. What's wrong with him? Man, was he drunk when he met her? And still he's drunk now. No, they need God. They need Jesus. They need Jesus before they date. They need Jesus in the middle of the date. And that way you don't have sex outside of marriage. Y'all know what that is, don't you? Because it's not godly to have sex outside marriage. I know we're in church. This is where we're supposed to talk about this stuff at. I'm supposed to teach this young lady and this young man the ways of God, what is proper to keep yourself unto Jesus and you. I'm married. I don't need to be out there fornicating. I'm married. I don't need to be. I just read what Jesus said this morning. He said, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he done committed adultery in his heart. You don't have to go do it to do it. Gosh, y'all getting this out of me, and I really like it. I'm really enjoying it, really. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, I can get on this, and some people will leave because they're tired of hearing about sin. Then the next one, tired of hearing about giving. Tired of hearing about love one another. You know, they get tired, but the righteous flourish. The righteous, they hear, they get wisdom, they grow, and they get stronger and stronger. Then the prosperity of the kingdom begins to manifest greater and greater, and they feel good. See, half-backslid Christians don't feel good on the inside. Why? Because we're grieving the Holy Spirit where we've been sealed with, and when the fruit of that Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those are the fruits that should be working in our life and will work in our life when we're letting the process of the kingdom work. Hallelujah. Get it out of you. I don't have to go to church. This boy drove all the way from Gulf Shore. Did you drive this morning? 4.5-5 hours, ain't it? To come to church here. I know that's his girlfriend, but we know better. They coming from afar. Coming from that's a long way. I mean, this dude got up early. I asked him if he liked it here. He said, it's different. It's different. He's honest. It's different. Hallelujah. Just a little different. I didn't ask him, how is it different? I don't care how it's different. It's different. We're not supposed to be like his church. Right? They geared one way. The Lord's got an anointing on their ministry and geared one way to go that way. And another church is geared and got an anointing, a different anointing, and they're geared different. Each one of us have an anointing from the Lord, and I'm not going to be like Monty. He's slow as a herd of turtles, and I've not got that kind of anointing. I tie a rope to him if he's going to work with me, man. You coming faster. There ain't nothing wrong with being anointed, taking a week to get his car out of the church service. He just don't get in a hurry. That's better than being in a hurry all the time, right? See, now, Monty ain't going to get all offended because I'm telling y'all the truth. He knows it. Now, if he's deceived, boy, Scotty, and listen at him up there talking about me. I've had people to say it. You was talking about me during service. I'm like, no, I was talking about everybody in there. I tell off on myself all the time, and you ain't getting upset. God makes me do it, and I can't get upset because doing the will of God is the most important thing in my life. I have to tell you all my garbage and stuff that I've come through and went through and all of that to help you come through your mess. Hallelujah. To help you get up in your anointing. I was thinking about it yesterday. See, the thing about it is we're all called into ministry. Every one of us that are born again are called into ministry. It might not be behind the pulpit, but you are called to reconcile people to God. And the only way that you're going to have that zeal after you're born again is get full. Get full. I mean, before I even knew that I was a preacher, I'm trying to get all them Christians saved down there where I work because they wasn't acting like Christians. So, but God, I'm bringing the word on them. I'm trying to get them saved, and they wasn't liking me too well. That Scotty, good God, he went from killing you to trying to get you saved. Is he real? I went from getting half of them stoned down there every now and then to ain't smoking nothing. I went to hitting a line of cocaine on our way to tote sheetrock. You need cocaine to tote sheetrock. Especially my size. Look at me, man. I mean, I'm the same height I've been since I'm 23 years old, just a little fatter now. I mean, I wore a size 28 pants forever. So, I mean, I'm on the motorcycle, and I'm running 100, and I got my legs locked around where I won't blow off. I'm locked on there, baby. 100-mile-an-hour wind, about to suck me off that motor scooter. 100-pound, man. I'm booking. I was going across Cleveland Stretch. I'm serious. I was hanging on because I thought this wind's going to get under me. I can feel it. Now, some of y'all ain't got to worry about that. You got some weight to you. You can't get up to 100. Hallelujah. But you know what? I'm out there and I'm like, man, y'all saved? Y'all are heathens. Y'all just like heathens. Man, I got born again. I'm different. I feel different. I think different here. See, maybe y'all ain't never been born again. You've been to church. That's okay. Monty had. Church all his life. 2014, come to this altar and give his heart to Jesus. I don't know what he was teaching before then. He had a head knowledge of the Bible. Didn't have no indwelling of the Spirit of God. Been to church all his life. But you know what? God had a destiny for him. The boy came out of Georgia, out of his mama. From his mama. All of y'all come from mama, didn't you? Right? Everybody come from mama. People ask me, where'd you come from? I said, my mama. Where are you from? My mama. My mama could have been in Florida. I'd have been a Florida boy. Been a Florida gator. It just so happened she was down here in Blount County. We done lived in Florida. I'd have been a Florida boy. I'd have been the same boy. I came from mama. You did too. But now we're born of God, right? I know God's making me look funny right now, being funny. I'm not trying to. He's laughter doing good like a medicine. Some of you can't take sharp cutting without you get some laughing gas. You got to have a little laughing gas with every slice. Oh, that was bad, but that was funny. You got it. See, you got to be born again of the Spirit of God, and a transformation takes place. I'm telling you, I was a very, very fearful guy, jealous. I ought to be jealous. I ought to be jealous of my wife. She's beautiful. I mean, I'll kill somebody back yonder, man. Once I fell in love with her, man, I mean, I couldn't see. I mean, every girl was ugly compared to her. But you know what? Satan used it. Satan used that and bound me up to where I'd run competition with people to make sure that she loved me, that she wanted me, and not anybody else. Satan cured me through competition. I got born again. I was at the jail preaching, and this guy's all scratched up because his girlfriend, she had some fingernails. You could tell they was pretty long by the depth of the cuts. Sucked out a quarter of an inch out of his face. Woman had some fingernails, boy. And so the Lord speaks to me, and the Lord says, go tell him that I'll set him free from jealousy. I said, I can't, Lord. I said, Lord, I can't. I'm bound in it myself, Lord. I'm saved, but I'm still bound. I'm still jealous. I didn't know it was fearful. I didn't know that was fear. I didn't know jealousy wasn't jealousy. That's the only way the world knows how to explain it, jealous. But it's fear. Fear of a man or a woman taking something you want, you love, you care about. Fear, it's fear. And so I told the Lord, I said, I can't, Lord. I can't tell him, Lord. I'm not free myself, Lord. I want to be free, but I can't tell him, Lord. The Lord said, you go tell him. He said, and I'm going to set you free in the process of you telling him. See, I needed to walk out what I'd already been set free from. I didn't know it. I'd already been free from that. But I was still in a prison, although I was saved, although I was born again and in love with the Lord and diving into God's Word and going to church, but I was still bound. See, it reminds me when Jesus went and rolled the angels, they rolled the tomb away. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. When he come forth out of that grave, he still had the grave clothes on him. He was alive, but he was still bound. See, we can be born again and be bound with fear and oppression and depression and anxiety and all of these things that wants to cause us to be oppressed as believers that not enjoy life and not. I mean, I've seen relationships, you know, go bad, and then the guy or the girl say, "Ain't no good man, ain't no good woman." Well, they ain't had them all and they ain't met them all. But their experience is spreading something that shouldn't be. These two here need to know whether they ever get married or come together. That'll be up to the Lord. But either way, they need to know that marriage is good. It's godly. It's a good, productive thing. It's a godly thing. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching to y'all. I'm really not. I care about both of you. And I believe God one day that y'all will, whether it's you two or y'all will be married and serving God and have a family and live in a house and, I mean, have a good, go to the grocery store and enjoy walking through the grocery store with one another. I couldn't even enjoy going to the grocery store with Teresa because I'm looking for all them guys. They better not be looking through the tater chip aisle. But God, we gonna tear down some Doritos. And I was not scared to do it. I'd dive on you in the grocery store. I don't care. You know? But went on and got born again. And God tells me. See, I'm telling you this that happened to me. It's not my story. It is called redemption. It is called the kingdom. It is called the process of the kingdom. Liberates and sets free and takes us in. I'm not afraid of losing her, but God, if you try to get her, I'm not even going to whip you. You can't touch what God's given me. I'm that confident. Not in. I know she, I mean, you know, the Lord told me, he said, tell her. He said, tell him. And I went and I told that guy. And I left, you know, that guy starts weeping at the jail. He begins to weep. And and everything. And I said, man, you turn to the Lord. I said, if you'll turn to the Lord, I said, the Lord will straighten your marriage out, or your whoever it is that is going on in your life that got you here. I said, he will straighten it out for you. What? Why? How did I know that? Because I gave my heart to him, and he began to change me. See, if you ain't being changed and transformed, you've got nothing to tell nobody. Other than go to church. Church is boring. Got shot, didn't you? Jesus is alive. His spirit is what makes it real. His spirit, that's why I can sit and listen to Monty for an hour and a half yesterday. Looked at the clock. It's Saturday. Looked at the clock, man, and I'm like, man, it's good. It's good. An hour and a half went by here. It's good. In church on Saturday. That's my only off day. Oh, shut up. We all off on Saturday, homie. We believe it's God. We believe God's going to do something in our lives. We believe God's going to show up. We believe God. That's why we sacrifice the time for him. But you know what? I'm strong today because of yesterday. I'm stronger today because of yesterday. Because I came under that corporate anointing. And we talked about, just rezoning this building. You know, I hadn't thought about it in years. Monty brought it up about rezoning this building. And then I told him, I said, well, I didn't really, really consciously at that time put it all together, you know, how this thing's going to turn out when they said, no, we couldn't have church here. No. Everybody within 500 foot, the mayor sent a letter, the council sent letters to them. Every one of them denied this place, denied it. Rejected it, willing to fight that we don't have it. Yeah. And so, all I did at that time, yes, it was discouraging. My mind went to racing. What's wrong with these people, man? We're wanting to open a church, man. I'm not going to burn Bluntsville down if I get mad at them anymore. I got saved, you know. I used to come down here and buy drugs all the time. Had some good dope down here. I don't know about now. If you know about it, don't tell me. Because you're going to come on out too. But you know what? I gave it to the Lord. How many knows? You got to give your problems to the Lord. And let the kingdom process work. Today, me and Teresa have a good life. Every now and then, Satan will try to make us jealous of one another. Every now and then. But we don't yield. If we tell each other, it's a little later after we done cast it out and went through the battle, and then we say, yeah, I've been tempted to be jealous or blah, blah, blah. Used to, it's like, what are you doing? And then we burn cars, we flatten tires, we bust out windows, we break coffee tables. We didn't have glass glasses. We had plastic glasses, plastic bowls. Because we knew, man, you know, we can buy them and they're going to be gone in a week. We're going to bust them up. But you know what? That don't happen no more. Why? Because the kingdom, we both started yielding to the kingdom, quit yielding to the flesh and fear. And, you know, us men, we ain't scared of nothing. Yeah, you are if you're jealous. Don't lie to yourself. You're eat up with fear. You're eat up with it. Coward, the Bible says. That's cowardly. God has not given me a coward spirit. He's not give you a timid spirit, a setback and not come against that fight, that spirit. God has give you power, love, and a sound mind to come against those. I'm a free man today. I'm not jealous of anybody about anything. I'm not in competition with anything or anybody. Now, Satan, he tries to get me in competition, but I just whip him right out of the gate. You whip him out of the gate. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. If I don't give him place, I just whip him right out of the gate. Because he has to have the legal right to make you jealous, make you jealous, make you jealous. You have to yield, yield, yield. Well, our relationship. Listen, don't control your wife. Let her be her. She'll be happy. My Bible, a loser. You done lost her. She just staying with you. See, if you love somebody, you don't want to control them. You want them to be them. You want them to be free. You want them to make their own choices and be happy. See, I had a revelation. I believe we have a big problem here and abroad with what I'm talking about. The Lord told me one time, he said, if you love her, let her go. I said, Lord, she's probably going to want him. I told the Lord, I said, she's probably going to want him. He said, you want her happy. I said, Lord, I want her to have a happy life. I love her. He said, then let her go. He said, let her go. So I had to work with the process of thinking she might really leave me. But I'd rather her be happy than leave me, than to stay with me. If that life makes her happy, then I want her to be. See, that's preferring others before ourselves. It's scriptural. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Had a Christian one time, he said, you got to get them before they get you. I said, that's not what the scripture says, man. It says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It don't say get them before they get you. The Bible says for me and you to be bold as a lion. It don't say be mean. It says be bold. It don't say be ugly. Be jealous. It says be bold. See, I need to lead my wife to Jesus. I need to lead my wife in the ways of God. I need to lead my wife in work ethic. I guarantee you, if I died right now, she would have to say, Scotty was a hard worker. Scotty provided for his family. Scotty led me to the Lord. Scotty helped me with my relationship. She would have to. And us as a legacy, guys, we want them to have to. Hey, that we're godly, that we're hard workers, that we have integrity, that we won't commit adultery. Hallelujah. I could. I got money. I can buy women. You can buy them today. Just get a Harley. They tell Travis, I like that Harley. That Harley turns them on. A Harley. Can you believe it? A hunk of bike. And Travis thought it was him all the time. No, it was the Harley. Get a spider now. Whoo, he's got a spider. Or what's that? Slingshot. Can you just imagine riding a slingshot? But it's not a slingshot like we think. You can rent them up in Tennessee. I ain't renting one. I'm going to buy one. If I'm going to do something, buy it. I'm going to believe God and buy it. If God wants me to have a slingshot, look, God, I'm riding to church in a slingshot. Do they sound good? Are they loud? I don't know. Huh? Oh, really? No, we're going to change that. We're going to have to get some, we're going to have to believe God for some of them $600 pipes for $25. Hallelujah. But see, we got to let the kingdom work in it. Give me that Matthew, I think it is. We read it Wednesday. You don't have it? Oh, let me see what it says. Oh, yeah, she didn't get it. It's Matthew, Mark 4. I'm sorry, it's Mark. Mark 4:30. Okay. It said, this is Jesus. And he said, whereunto shall we like the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. That's talking about natural things. He's a parable. He's given a parable so that we in the natural can understand how the kingdom works in us. He says, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up. Somebody say, groweth up. I mean, I've been saved too long to be a baby. I've been saved 20-something years. I'm only out of teenage years, but I should have a lot of character. 20-something years of being a Christian. And if I don't, I need to work on it now. Right? He said, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, less than all the seeds to be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. In other words, he said, once we get born again, this kingdom is like natural. This kingdom starts growing. It starts changing my marriage. It starts changing my thinking. It starts changing my cussing. I still cuss if I want to. I ain't cussed in a long time. I've let the F-bomb out nearly before. I used to say it a lot. That was my main saying. I'd F-bomb everything. Everything. F-bomb it. But the kingdom restrains me. See, once the kingdom starts operating, it restrains me from lusting after women. It restrains me from wanting covetousness towards somebody's stuff. It causes me to go. I'm going to go to church. I'm a kingdom man. Come on, somebody. If you are a kingdom man, fight for your right to serve Jesus. Don't call it go to church. Forget going to church. Fight for your right to do the will of God concerning the kingdom, concerning going to church. Well, I mean, it's just, we have to get the kids ready. Somebody told me the other day, you want mine to go with yours? I said, nope, done raised mine out, and I'm fine. I get my two grandkids on Tuesday night, and that's all I want them. I'm done. Now I go out there and ride them around four-wheelers and stuff, you know, and then send them right on home. We're getting hungry. Go home. Papa, when's supper? I don't know. Call Mama. And the woman, Grandma's cooking. No, she's not. She's cooking for Papa. I have to tell them that. What's Grandma doing? It don't matter. They're wanting to get out there to check Grandma out. Get popsicles off the back porch and stuff, you know. They just like going to Grandma. And then they tell Grandma, it's hot out here. Grandma's sweating. All they want is cartoons. They maneuver their way to the house. Smart them kids are. I told them, I said, y'all are just like Papa, got some wisdom about you. See, the kingdom of God working in it. Now, he's telling them this parable. See, we can't stay with sprouts. We can't stay with sprouts. And you know, even with a tomato plant, I'm trying something a little different this year. My tomato plants, they got suckers on them. They're called suckers. And what they do is they come out next to the ground, and they come out and they put on and they will bloom, but they take away from the upper tomatoes. They're suckers. But it was hard. It's hard for me to pinch a sucker off. But this year, I'm pinching them suckers off. I went down to the ground, and some of y'all need to pinch some suckers out of your life. I need to do a sermon, suckers. But I go down, and you know what I've noticed? Ever since I started doing it, and I went up to the leaves, and I thought, I'm going to cut the leaves back. I'm going to cut these leaves back. Nobody's ever told me to do it, but I'm going to cut these back, because I know in the natural, Lord, just in the natural, that these leaves are taken away. They're growing, and it's taken away from the fruit. So I went and pinched my leaves back. I noticed yesterday that my one tomato went from a nickel size to a quarter size in 2 days, a roundabout. I'm watching these plants. And the Lord, you know, and the Lord's like, These things that are suckers in your life, sucking you away from me, sucking you away from giving, sucking you away from loving one another, loving the brotherhood. Me and you ought to be, we ought to be in, Monty wants to hug my neck now every time he sees me. He's like, hey, you know, I ain't going to do that. I'm like, if he does, I'm going to say, Monty, control yourself. I know I look good, baby, but not here. Well, that's that fervent love, though. Being honest, that's not a natural love. That's the agape love of God, you know. And I told him, I said, I feel the same way with you and the guys here at church, you know. You know, I can't bring myself to let you down. I can't. It'll cost me before I'll do it. I'll have to be backslid to do it. I will backslid, Johnny. I don't care about you. Man, I'm backslid. Y'all just go to hell. If you want to, I'm going. I'll preach you right on the hell end. It's okay, Jesus. Let's just live any old way. Man, we'll get right before he comes. You don't know when he's coming. He could split them eastern skies open today. We could walk out of here, and here's them angels with the trumpet, man. And we're rising. We're going up. Wait. And we'll be like, we'll see y'all later. Man, we thought y'all was right. Y'all been in church. Look at all them people standing outside the church ain't going up. I mean, there's going to be multitudes ain't going up sitting in the church. Get Johnny. Get him. Come back, Johnny. Yeah, we want your car, man. Tell us where the title's at. Before you go, man, it's only joy we're going to get. It's going to get bad. Satan's going to be loosed, and he's going to rule and reign here. And we're going to be down here under his thumb. We ain't going to be able to buy nothing without that mark. We ain't going to be able to do business. We're going to starve to death down here. Give me your title, Johnny. I want the Mustang. If I was going to stay, I'd want the Mustang, at least the Mustang. It's got the power. Because that's the only power you're going to have when the Holy Ghost is gone. So I want to encourage you. You know, let's be willing, just like zoning this church, and I'm going to quit with this, maybe. Maybe. I'm pastor. I get an hour and a half if I want it, Monty. No, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. They go and they say, no. I go to the Lord and I said, you've got a problem. You've got a problem, Lord. I have given my life to you. I have given my plans to you. I have made my plans your plans, Lord. And these people want to stop your plans from happening in my life down here. And I'm giving this to you right now, and I ain't going to be concerned about it. I yielded it to the Lord, so you got to give your marriage to the Lord. This is kingdom stuff. You got to give all your cares to the Lord. But you can, when you give them to Him, you got to replace those something where you took those cares and got rid of. You got to replace it with the Word of God. Replace it with confidence in God that God is able to do abundantly above, greater than you think or ask, because you're letting the power work in you. He's not able to do what you won't let him or I won't let him do. Many are sitting home today, I wish God would heal me. Well, come to church. I wish God would bless my finances. Well, come on to church and tithe like the rest of us. I wish God would show up and get my house. Well, come on. You're going to have to sow some seeds into the kingdom. Sow the kingdom. Look, go read that there. Y'all up in Facebook land, Mark 4:30-32, and get a clue that if you want the kingdom to grow in your life, you're going to have to sow the kingdom in your heart before it'll grow. Well, I go down there. God sends two people. I go in front of all these people. I told the Lord, I said, I'm not getting a lawyer. You ought to send me a lawyer if I need a lawyer. Well, I go before and all of these people that rejected this. See, there's going to be, Satan is going to come against the desires that you have that are godly. He's going to contend with you. He's going to try to stop you. He's going to try to convince you that you don't have the power to win, because he don't have power to destroy you. All he has is the power to deceive you into thinking, I mean, just like today, I could have used the day off and went to the beach. I've been busy, Johnny. But no, I got to come to church. It's my only day off, Sunday. I've been working all week. Quit your job. Don't quit God. Quit your job. You think I'm kidding? I'll quit my job. Before I quit God, He's the reason I'm sane today. He's the reason I'm in power today. He's the reason I'm blessed going in, blessed going. He's the reason I got God's doors. Without Him, I didn't have none. Couldn't even run a garbage dumpster without, you know, wasting the money. Well, I go down there, sit in there, and I mean, now, you talking about feel the devil? I felt like getting up, getting out of there. I mean, I just felt like, good Lord, this is not, it don't feel good. And I thought, black God, they hated Jesus too. Black God, you know what? They persecuted, they called Jesus the devil. Black God, they, you know, and so they sit there, and I said, there's two chairs beside me, and these are people that come out of building committees. They go to different places, and they evaluate what are the, a business would benefit that community or whatever. That's what they do. They're from the state, I guess. Well, anyhow, they sat down. I didn't know who they was. Two dressed in suits, you know. They sat down here, one on my right and one on my left, just sat down there. And would they go through and they give all of the reasons why we shouldn't be sitting here today worshiping Jesus and preaching the gospel and changing lives. They give all the reasons, stupid reasons. One old man, he said, I started to tell him, you're going to be the first one needs it. Oh, old folks home, you old fogey. I'm mad, really. I'm sitting there about mad to give any stupid reasons. You know, all these stupid reasons. And that guy said, hey, man, he's wanting to open a church. He said, y'all mean y'all don't want a church in the community where it's drug infested? You know, now whatever they said. And then all of them at one time simultaneously was mad at these guys, and they just said, just do it. I thought there was no way they rehearsed that. And the mayor, I mean, they said, do it, and it got out of the mouth. He said, so be it. I stood up, and I said, God bless y'all. I come on down here and jumped in here and did Bible study. Got the victory. Well, what I'm saying here in this, and I'm going to close, I'm making a point, is whatever the kingdom is in your life that you will not fight for, that you know is the will of God, you will not see. No manifestation. That wasn't me because I didn't even know what I was doing. I hadn't been saved that long, 7-8 years. You know, I felt like I'm fighting the whole city to do the will of God. I knew God wanted me here. So my point in all of that was, had I just quit, had I just said, well, just forget it, we would not probably be here in this building today. The Lord spoke to me to do something. If He tells you quit being jealous, that's the Lord speaking to you. If it's getting on your nerves, me preaching about it, it's you. It's not me. If you ain't faithful going to church somewhere, and I bring up church every service, it's not me. It's you. Hallelujah. You go turn on Jensen Franklin, find you a good Bible base. You don't get mad at him. You just shut him off. Stupid Jensen saying the same thing. So's Creflo Dollar. Every time he turns, I like to watch Joel Osteen, and he jumps around, and you know, and then at the end, find you a good Bible-based church. He's feminine. It's not all the churches, homeboy. It's you. You're guilty. God's trying to convince you that the reason why things are not manifested in your life like the kingdom wants to is you won't let it grow. You won't fight for what is right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. Whatever God's speaking to you, the kingdom is wanting to manifest and advance you and take you higher. But there's going to be some fighting has to take place, and it's the fight of faith. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And I thank you, Lord, for your spirit this morning.